Every Monday, you already know we're always talking all things money on a Monday because we want to be better stewards of the finances we have and know how to grow it, know how to save it, know how to keep track of where it's going. And this also includes knowing how we spend it in moments of emotion. This is something that every single one of us will experience at any and almost every point in life. We will actually experience this. But how do we actually curb ourselves from going through emotional spending? Right now, I'm joined in studio by Leon Riada, who is a financial planner at Private Wealth Management with 15 years' experience in the industry, an electronics engineer by training, but he spent 9 years in engineering and 6 as a program manager on national infrastructure projects before joining PWM in 2005. He's a multi-award winner at the firm and is passionate about holistic, future-fit financial planning. All of this to say he's the right person to speak to this afternoon. Leon, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
It's a pleasure, Gorsi. Thanks for inviting me.
Leon, when we speak about emotional spending, many of us get in our feelings, pun intended, because this is something so close to home. But before we even talk about what to look out for, why does it happen, let's just try to put a definition to it, so to say, so that we know who you're speaking to. Let's start there.
Yeah, I think first of all humans are emotional creatures and by habit, and I think that's something that God created as part of a human being in there. So emotional spending for me situates around exactly what it says, your emotions, and all of us has got different emotions during the day, different circumstances that triggers those. And emotional spending is based on those feelings and emotions, and normally leads to impulsive spending, and sometimes also leads to buying stuff that it's not necessarily a need, but it's a want. It's something fancy. It's maybe something nice. Mm. It's not necessarily a need, and I think that's sometimes the especially if we get into the habit of doing it regularly, that it becomes a problem.
Are there certain triggers? Like, is it just when one is having a bad day or feeling down? Are there certain emotional triggers that could set this off?
Yeah, I think there's definitely emotional triggers. Sometimes it's excitement of in the situation, in the moment, whether that's a special,
sure.
Maybe it's an auction, maybe, you know, you get all kinds of stuff. Sometimes you're sad, you know, the term retail therapy is well known in the industry.
Yes.
So sometimes you go shopping and you feel a bit better, you had a sad day, or, you know, things didn't go your way and you went and you buy a nice pair of shoes or jacket or a nice hat, and you feel better about yourself, look in the mirror and say, listen, I'm okay.
I may be feeling sad inside, but I'm looking good while
yes,
I'm at it.
Yes.
Is retail therapy, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, is it kind of I don't know if I'd be right in saying a synonym of emotional spending?
I also thought about that. I'm not sure if it's a synonym, but I think it relates very closely to emotional spending. And,
yeah.
And I think once again, you know, one can easily become in a habit. And I think that's the thing to really look out for. You know, having a bad day and spending some money and feeling better, it's might not that bad, but if you do it constantly or continually and it becomes bigger and more and more of a problem, that can be an issue.
As they say, the saying goes, anything too much of a good thing can be bad. And not in this case speaking about the spending itself, but in this case speaking about too much of a good thing being what we're consuming. And a lot of us are consuming what we see online, right?
Correct.
And what you see online can make you feel some type of different emotions, from joy, from seeing other people's success, but also some people may wallow in pain of seeing how they are regressing in comparison to their peers, their neighbors, or what the society would say is a norm. Do you find that social media also exacerbates emotional spending?
Yes, definitely. I think nowadays we all talk about AI, the algorithms and so forth, and you browse through stuff on the internet, and then suddenly if you look at a pair of shoes as an example, or a jacket, suddenly the next moment, you know, you log in or you browse again, you keep on seeing more and more of those things that you looked at the day before. And I think what the other problem is with the internet and social media and so forth is that you constantly get that marketing in your face, and then it's very easy. I mean, it's a few clicks and you've bought a jacket or a pair of shoes. So it's also that instant gratification situation where you know, we are, you know, nowadays everything needs to happen immediately. If we stand 10 minutes in the queue at McDonald's, it's too long, you know. So social media and the marketing on there helps or is moving us in that direction of instant gratification. And then I think the other problem is that all of us is more likely to share our wins and the positive stuff and everything when everything goes well. Yeah. You very seldom share the bad moments and the stuff that isn't right. So it's sort of a polished image almost, and that's also unrealistic in a certain sense.
You know, I actually remember some years ago I got into Kindle, so I was buying a lot of Kindle books on Amazon, and I remember so clearly when Amazon introduced the one-click buy. You just literally click that thing. You don't need to go to checkout, no address, no nothing. You just click it. It's done. Correct. It's got your details. It's got everything from there. And I remember when it started, I was like, man, I love this. This is so simple. I see a book. I read a little bit. Click one. It's done. Until I click that a bit two times and I haven't read any of those books as yet. And I realize this is a problem. And I guess the question goes, when do I know I have a problem? In my case, I realize because there's a stack of books sitting I haven't read on my Kindle app. But for someone who's got all these things that they love, the ice cream, they love the clothes. Yeah. But how do I know that I've got a problem?
Yeah, I think exactly that. I've got one or two clients that love shoes as an example. And it's a whole process to talk through that and discuss that and understand what that impact is, because it's sort of becoming a habit and you're buying shoes and you're buying more shoes. The similar situation in terms of the books that you mentioned. And when you open the closet, you suddenly realize, listen, I've got 60 or 70 pairs of shoes and you can't wear them in 1 year. So it needs to come front of mind, top of mind, if I can call it that. And you need to yourself get to that point of realizing, listen, I'm over the edge, or when you've got a partner or somebody else that keeps you honest and shows you on certain things. I think,
How do I go about it though, Leon? There's someone right now who is driving to work and they're not feeling it. They've had a long day, or somebody else is coming from work and has just walked out of a meeting for 7 of the 8 hours that were at work. And it's continuing tomorrow. It's an exco meeting and they're just feeling absolutely pasted, and they've got home duty second half of the day waiting, and they just feel like, I really could do with 4 spicy wings in my car right now. But my problem is my third one this week and it's only Monday. What advice do you have for someone who's just saying, I really struggle, and those spicy wings do a great job when I've had them?
Yeah, I think there is a couple of tools and techniques that one can use. I think, broadly speaking, a budget is always very important, and trying to stick to that, planning for the month, planning for the week. And I mean, you can even break that down, planning for the day. So being practical is looking at a budget, tracking expenses. There's many apps available that you can load up slips and receipts and so forth. So track your expenses, see what you spend your money on, and that will also help you to, in a visible manner, see, you know, I've bought 20 books a month, or I've bought 20 pairs of shoes a month, so,
but
and
Leon,
so forth.
What happens if I'm doing this to make my partner happy? That's harder to measure, because I keep buying them ice cream, keep buying them something because it makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's so there's also, I mean, I think it's Gary, I think it's Chapman, The Love Languages, that's written that book. There is a bit of that in terms of whether you like gifts your partner or not, and quality time and so forth. So I think the budget tracking expense gives you that feel of, I mean, all of us should treat our partners, spouses, kids, and so forth, and loved ones and family and friends. But there's also a limit in terms of that. And I think once you've got a budget and you track your expenses, that gives you an idea in terms of where do you spend your money. And then I think second of all to that as well is, I've read in one of the books, I like reading as well.
Yeah.
So in some of the financial books, you know, one of the authors mentioned the fact that try to you know, spend money on the stuff that you like within your means, and then on the other way, try to really minimize your spend on the stuff that you don't like. Sort of that's almost waste in a certain sense, and try to minimize that. Mm. And try to focus. But once you've got numbers on the table, you've got the expenses, you've got the budget, I mean, then you can start managing that. And then it's also important to speak to, whether it's your partner, whether it's, and if you really got a problem, maybe you can go for counseling, speak to somebody around that. And then I firmly believe in a financial planner, sitting with somebody that's a professional in the area and talk through your specific you know, goals, plans that you've got,
yeah,
and what is hindering you currently to achieve those. Mm. And then, you know, things like automated saving, those type of things also help in terms of reducing that emotional spending.
Yeah, Leon, this is actually so helpful. I love the fact that you didn't make us look weird, just kind of saying it. That does happen. Just make sure that definitely. You keep an eye on it. Leon,
myself as well.
And yeah, look, the difference between you and I is that you love reading. I love the idea of reading. That's the difference between the two of us. It's Leon Rihanna joining us right here on Drive 3 to 6. He's a financial planner at Private Wealth Management. An absolute great conversation on emotional spending.